Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Someday we're going to finish Philippians. It's awesome. I'm going to finish it this year. Philippians chapter 4. Again, the theme of the book of Philippians is joy, but also just joy that's produced by selflessness. Joy that's produced by selflessness. You know, we think about it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And as we give to others, it produces joy in our life. It produces joy in our heart. And so as we look at, think about Paul, who is in prison while writing this letter, that he doesn't complain about his plight, doesn't complain about the situation he's in. He's constantly thinking of others. He's constantly thinking of and writing about the gospel not being hindered by what he's by where he's at, but that the gospel is being put forth or the gospel is being spread because of the situation he's in. And so it's amazing to me how Paul can continue with that kind of attitude and that kind of spirit in spite of where he was at and what was going on in his own life. And just a good lesson for us as we look tonight at the verse we're going to cover, which is a very familiar verse to most of us. And if you've been a Christian very long, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Simple verse, just 10 words, but a powerful, powerful verse. And so let's look at it tonight after we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you tonight again for all that you've done for us. We thank you that we have this wonderful promise here in the Bible. And God, that you promised to give us strength in our time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 1 is Christ is our life. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians chapter 2 is Christ is our mind. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, it's Christ is our goal. And Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 4, it's Christ is our strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In verses 10, 11, and 12, we preached on just a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, Paul had learned or had been cared for by the church at Philippi, and he rejoiced in that greatly that they had cared for him. So we think about in verse 10, Paul's care. They're caring for him, sending him the things that he needed by way of Epaphroditus. Apparently it's money, apparently it's the things he needed in order to sustain life. Again, when they were in prison in that day, the government didn't take care of them. They had to have friends and family take care of them. So Paul was excited, if you would. He was encouraged by them sending a gift to take care of him while he was in prison. And then we see not only Paul's care, but also the contentment of Paul. Verse 11 and 12, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. And if you underline in your Bible, you ought to underline the word learned. I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment, he said, is learned. It's something we learn. And he said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And so Paul had learned contentment. Paul had learned to be content. And then in verse 12, not only he had learned it in verse 11, but he also applied it in his own life. He learned to be content when things were not going well, when he was abased, when he was low, when he was knocked down. He was learned to be content. But also he learned to be content in the good times as well. Sometimes that can be just as hard or harder to be content when things are going great. And we have a tendency when things are going great to be apathetic and so forth. And so Paul's saying, I've learned to be content when things are going great and when things are going bad. And so that is learned. By the way, it's not just learned by circumstances. Of course, it is learned through the path of our life. As we go through this life, we learn to be content. But also, that's a godly contentment that only comes from the Lord. Again, it's not about wealth. It's not about riches. I think about Robin Williams committing suicide. You know, here's a man who had seemingly everything. Wealth, fame, all the things he'd ever wanted, and yet committed suicide. Happiness doesn't come from stuff. Happiness comes from the Lord. And I mean that by way of joy as well. But joy comes from the Lord. And part of that joy is learning to be content. By the way, being content doesn't mean you don't strive. Paul said, I press toward the mark. Paul was continually striving to know more about Jesus, to learn more about Him, to be a better Christian, to live more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't talking about contentment in that way. So it's not wrong to pursue a job or pursue these things. It's just pursuing those things at the expense of your relationship with Jesus is wrong. In other words, we ought to be content with what God has given us and the position and place God has put us in. So, what God appoints and permits are in the sphere of His will. So as we think about what my life is, the circumstances of my life, God has permitted that. And God has allowed that in my life. And so that is in the sphere of God's will. And we ought to accept His will for our life. We must depend upon Christ for our needs. He is the one who will supply the strength we need. He's the one who supplies the food. He's wisdom. We ought to go to Him for strength. And that's where we're at tonight. What a verse this is. And I wish I was a better preacher that I could really get it across to you. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. This is a promise, by the way. Sometimes I think maybe we read past it. We don't think of it as being a promise, but it is a promise from God. And what God promises, He does. Amen. Hebrews says if he didn't keep His promises and if He lied, He's not God. God is a God who keeps His promises. I can do all things through Christ. I want to first off understand that Paul here is not being self-confident. He's not saying I can do. He says I can do all things through Christ. And we know that he's not self-confident because in chapter 3, or verse 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And he goes on to give his credentials as a Jew. But he says, those things which I gained to me, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count as loss. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul said, hey, if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, it would be me. And he gives his credentials and says, hey, he'd been educated. He had all this, he had a great pedigree, came from a good home and had all these things, but he wasn't self-confident. But he relied upon the strength of the Lord. He was God confident. And can I be just again right up front tonight? We ought to be confident in the Lord. The world teaches that we can have confidence in ourselves, but I have no confidence in myself. We shouldn't have confidence in ourselves. We put our confidence in the Lord. And so we got to be careful. I always use this illustration. It's silly, I know, but in the eighth grade, the humanistic, self-help stuff had really become to the forefront. And they made all the junior hires, when I was in eighth grade, it was called junior high, eighth graders watch a movie on, self-esteem. And so they went through this whole big 30-minute movie about this little boy who wasn't the greatest physical specimen, and he was moving rocks. And all along, as he was moving these rocks to build this wall, he was saying, you can do it. And his name was Duffy Moon. I don't know why, but you can do it, Duffy Moon, and you can do it. And you could just see that, I can do it, I can do it. I remember in junior high, too, is when that first came out, talked about, visualize and actualize. Visualize it, and it'll come reality, and a bunch of hocus-pocus like that. And you say, well, we learn that in business. If you want to do it, you got to envision it first. I understand all that, but you got to be careful. You put your confidence in yourself and not in the Lord. Our confidence should not be in ourselves. You say, well, we ought to have self awareness and like ourselves. If you'll just love the Lord, you'll have a proper view of oneself. If you put God in His proper perspective and put Him on the throne of your heart, you'll be fine. You'll have a proper perspective of your own life and then your own self. You don't have to constantly think about oneself in order to, like yourself. You put your confidence in the Lord. Your relationship with God is right, and all that will fall in place. I got off on a bunch of stuff there. But, we live in a humanistic society, and reminding us that we ought not to put confidence in oneself. We think about, again, the world's in chaos. I gave you Robin Williams. Here's a man who had everything, and seemingly, and yet committed suicide. And we could name person after person who has done this. Why? Because their confidence wasn't in the Lord. I mean, what is going to sustain us? Who's going to sustain us? It's God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to sustain us. I can do all things through Christ. Again, we think about this is a promise from God. This promise gives hope. I can do all things through Christ. It gives hope. It gives confidence. We think about, again, Paul's burden. Paul was burdened. I mean, he had learned to be content, but he'd suffered some bad stuff. As he's writing this, he's in prison. He's going through difficult times, and yet he learned to be content. He learned that, you know, abasement. He learned to, he'd been brought low, and yet he would learn to be content. He went through much affliction, and yet learned to be content. Philippians 4:14 says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate, what? With my affliction. He had been abased, he had been afflicted, and yet he was content. Spurgeon, I read a story about Spurgeon having a particular verse in his bedroom hung up on the wall. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the greatest preacher since the Apostle Paul, and preached in London in the 1800s. Church ran thousands. He had the largest church in the world at the time. Isaiah 48 verse 10 says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Paul had been afflicted. Paul had been abased, and yet learned to be content. So how can we do that? With the Lord's strength. He had learned to be content. He could do all things through Christ, even through the burdens that he had, but also through the blessings, and I've already covered that, but sometimes a blessing, the blessings of life can be, it can be just as hard to be content during the blessings as it is the afflictions. And so we learn to be content. I can do all things through Christ. Can I remind you tonight that God still can? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? Paul had a positive spirit. Two or three years ago, I preached a bunch of messages on attitude. On attitude. You know what? You choose your attitude. You get up in the morning, you decide your attitude. You decide what attitude you're going to have. And sometimes we wake up, man, we have a bad attitude. But we choose that. We choose that. And Paul was such positive when it came to his work for the Lord. He said, I can do all things through Christ. By the way, I can do whatever God has called me to do. I can do through Him, no matter what it is. In all of Paul's afflictions, he remained concerned for others. I mentioned this a moment ago. He remained concerned for others. In all his affliction and all of his problems, he still had such a concern for those around him and compassionate for the Lord's work. And compassion for the Lord's work. Why? Here he is. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He's chained to a Roman soldier, or at least he's under house arrest. Why did he have such a concern for others? And why was he still had such compassion compassionate about the Lord's work? How? That's not natural. Right? You're in prison, and yet you're still concerned about others outside of prison? You're in prison, and yet you still have such a compassionate attitude towards the Lord's work? That's not natural. That doesn't come, you know, it's not just something that just naturally comes. Well, what was it? Well, he should have been complaining. I mean, we should be reading the book of Philippians, and we should see him complaining about it, but he doesn't. He doesn't complain about his afflictions. He doesn't complain about his abasement. No, he's positive. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What's such a positive outlook? Huh? Can I just tell you, attitudes change when we're strengthened by the Lord. Attitudes change when we're strengthened by the Lord. We can have a positive spirit. No matter whether we're in affliction or not, we can have a positive spirit. No matter whether we're abased or not, we can have a positive spirit. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In all of Paul's afflictions, he remained concerned about others. In all of Paul's afflictions, he remained confident in the Lord. He remained confident in the Lord, being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He was confident in God. He was confident in God's work. He was confident in God's sustaining power in his life. Are you confident tonight? Are you still confident in the Lord that God can handle whatever situation that's in your life? By the way, if he's going to handle some situation in your life, First off, you need to be saved. You need to have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. I hope tonight you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where it starts. You want the power of the Lord? You want the power of Jesus Christ? Then the power comes through His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that one called alongside to encourage and help us in this life. And can I tell you, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as Savior, you ought to trust Him tonight. It'd be the greatest decision you've ever made. To put your faith and confidence in Him and His life, His death, and His resurrection as your only means of salvation from God's wrath. By the way, there's a penalty for sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Well, what is that, preacher? Well, that's physical death. But the Bible also says in Revelation there's a spiritual death. Revelation says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There is heaven, but there's also hell. And hell's a real place. It's a place of torment. It's a place of fire. And those who do not come to Jesus, those who do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, those who do not believe that He lived, died, and rose again as their only means of salvation will die and split hell wide open one day. Man, we must come to Jesus. And when we come to Him and accept Him as Savior. By the way, it's not about coming to the church. It's not about getting baptized. It's not about being a good person. It's about putting your faith in the works of Jesus Christ. Again, that He lived, He died, and rose again. Realizing you're a sinner. We're just sinners. And because we're sinners, there's a price to be paid. Jesus Christ paid that price for us on Calvary when He died on the cross and shed His blood. And then on the third day, rose again from the dead. That is power. That is power. It is the power of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the power of the gospel. And so we have that power. And so understanding that's where it begins. That's where it begins. I can do all things through Christ. It's because of His life, His death, and His resurrection that we have power. Do you have confidence in that power? Are you confident in Him? Are you as confident as David was when he faced Goliath? Can you imagine a teenage boy, a ruddy lad, and Tyler Gillett at the conference last week was saying David was redheaded, but I don't know if he was or not. But anyway, and so David faces this Goliath. Goliath is almost 10 foot tall. Here's a teenager, a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, 16-year-old, facing Goliath. You know what? He had confidence in God. He said, I don't come to you with sword and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he took those five stones and put them in his little satchel. And he took that one stone and put it in his sling and slung it around. And bam! And now that giant fell down forward and died. And he took the sword out of Goliath's sheath and cut Goliath's head off and took his head and just kind of, took it around. It's pretty awesome. The Bible's that's pretty awesome. Are you as confident as David in God's power? He faced Goliath. He faced impossible odds. That doesn't just happen. A teenage boy doesn't defeat a 10-foot giant. That doesn't happen. Physically speaking, it doesn't happen. It's impossible. But David put his confidence in the power of God. Listen, you put your confidence in the power of God every day. You get up in the morning, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today, and you live in the constant confidence of God all day long. I can do all things. Through Christ, Paul had confidence in the Lord, had confidence in God's power. He was positive about that. In all of Paul's afflictions, he remained productive. In other words, he didn't intend to do all things. He did all things. Everything that was required of him, the Lord, he did those things. It's amazing how many people have good intentions but never get it done. Now we'll do a little positive message tonight. I'll get into my positive mode. You can. I can't, never did nothing. Teenagers, you can do all things. We need a I can attitude. I can, through Christ, do all things. I know I talk about pessimists, and I said it the other night. Pessimists drive me nuts. I mean, I hate to be around negative people. And so... I try my best to hang around people that are fun to be around and that are positive. You ought to be careful. Be careful who you hang out with. All of a sudden, your optimistic spirit will become a negative spirit as you get influenced by those around you. And it's certainly not wrong to try to be uplifting to those around. In fact, we're required to as Christians to encourage those around us. But boy, be careful you don't slip into that same mode of negativity. And I said the other night, I still believe it. I think a realist is nothing but a pessimist with a mask on, you know, pretending to be a realist. Just a pessimist. You know, okay, so whatever. That didn't go over well. Positive. In all his afflictions, he was still productive. I mean, he's in prison and he's writing letters that are encouraging these churches that he had planted. He's still being productive for the Lord. And may we in our affliction be productive by way of the strength and power of the Holy Ghost. Again, if God calls you, do it. He will see you through. Good intentions never get you anywhere. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul was continually pressing toward the mark. Can I just encourage you to be a Christian of action? Be a Christian of action. Are you being productive as a Christian? Right? We ought to be productive as employees. Amen? I ought to be productive as a pastor. You ought to be able to, you know, meet me on Saturday and say, Pastor, what did you get done this week? And I'll show you my things to do list. By the way, I've been doing the same things to do list for the last 25 years. Not the same things to do list, but doing it the same way for 25 years. I have a things to do list. I still write it out manually. Sometimes on Sunday afternoon, sometimes first thing on Monday morning, I write out Monday, this is what I'm going to do. Tuesday, this is what I'm going to do. Wednesday, this is what I'm going to do. Thursday, this is what I'm going to do. I write it all out, and I try to be productive. I don't always do everything that's on the list, and it gets moved forward, and I try to be productive. And I have every things to do sheet that I've ever done. I still have them. A stack of papers about that tall. If you want to know what my life is, you could go back through those things to do sheet and see what I did every day. Be the story of my life. Or maybe I'm just a pat rat. Yeah. I'm a pack rat. It's all right. Are you being productive? I do want to be productive as an employee. I want to be productive as a pastor, but we ought to be productive as Christians. And Paul, even in his affliction, even in his burden, even in that time of just a strait, it's amazing what he was still doing. And may we still be productive and to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Just do it. I can do all things. I like this definition. What does all things mean? It simply means all things. I don't know else to say it. I just looked it up in the dictionary. It means all things. I can do all things. Well, Pastor, it means here in the context that he's talking about pressing toward the mark, and I totally agree. I believe each chapter progresses. Christ is my life. Christ ought to be on the throne of my heart. He ought to be what my life is about. We ought to seek first the kingdom of God, and Christ should have first place in our life. And then Christ should be our mind. He said, let this mind be in you. He didn't say, make this mind be in you. And so we ought to allow the Holy Spirit and yield to Him in our life and have that selfless mind of Christ in our life that only God can supply to us and only God can give to us. It's a selfless, motivated life. Being selfless to our neighbor and selfless to our kids and selfless to our spouse. That is given to us by the Lord. Let this mind be in you. And then in chapter 3 it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that pressing toward the mark is pressing towards being Christ-like, of having that selflessness, of living a selfless life, living a Christ-like life. My goal as a Christian is to mimic Christ. Amen? Christian means Christ-like. It means I'm going to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to be an imitator of Jesus Christ, I am going to have to rely upon the power of the Lord. Because again, it doesn't come natural. It's not something that I muster up and all of a sudden I pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm able to live a constant, consistent Christian life. No, I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to live a life that is productive, to live a life that is still concerned about others when I'm going through a tough time, to live a life that is to live a life of confidence in the Lord. I need the Lord. Amen? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It simply means I can do all things. That means I can have a consistent personal daily walk with Jesus. Hello? Man, I can have a daily walk. I can have a Christian family. Being saved doesn't necessarily make you a Christian family. Being saved, everybody in the household being saved doesn't make it a Christian home. No, it must have Christian principles applied in that home. A home that is Christ-like. A home that is reliant on the power of the Holy Spirit. You can have a Christian home. You can have a daily walk. You can, through Jesus Christ. We can be consistent to church, be faithful to church, be involved in the things and service of the Lord. We can be an encouragement to those around us. I can do all things. All right? I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Again, if we are going to do all things through Christ, we must know Him as personal Savior. Right? A lost person is not going to garner strength from the Lord Jesus because they are dead in trespasses and sins. I'm glad that I was quickened by the Holy Spirit, made alive. My spirit is alive. And the Holy Spirit now abides in me. And therefore I can and am under His constant care and have that power available to me. So, we can have that power every day. Right? Through the new birth. I've been born again. I've been given a new nature. I've been given the Holy Spirit who now abides in me. I am the temple of God. Amen? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? Do you believe that? Does the Holy Spirit really live in you? Yes, that's what the Bible says. When I accept Christ as my Savior, at the very moment I put my faith and trust in Him, the Holy Spirit comes and abides in me. And He comes and He abides in me to enlighten me, to teach me and lead me into all truth as far as concerning the Word of God. But He also, through His feeling, empowers me to live this life. By the way, you ought to live this life abundantly. Life was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying life? We can have that power to enjoy life through Jesus Christ. Well, how are we to do that? I am not going to preach next week's Sunday morning message. I'm not going to do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do not talk about it. You've got to be here next Sunday morning. It's going to be good. Not because of me. It's a good Bible. I'm telling you. Isaiah 40, verses 12 through 26. He talks about how big God is. Can I remind you, we serve a big God? Understand this, that the promise of strength is only as good as the source of the promise. That's good. I didn't come up with that statement, but that's awesome. I copied it from somebody. There's nothing new under the sun. The promise of strength is only as good as the source of the promise. As we think about, I can do all things through Christ, and we understand, again, salvation and all that He's given to us, the Holy Spirit that He's given to us, the power to overcome death, hell, and the grave. What an accomplishment. His strong arm, Isaiah 40, there in verse 9 speaks about that. Verse 10 speaks about that strong arm, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. Amen. That's my Savior. Verse 11 talks about Him being a shepherd and caring for us and all those things. Listen, we serve a God who is powerful. In fact, we serve a God who's all powerful. His power never diminishes. He created the heavens and the earth and did not diminish His power, not one iota. I mean, He's as powerful as He's ever been. You say, well, the seventh day He rested. No, he ceased from His creative activity. He didn't rest, as we think about resting. I do something, I need to rest. I need to rest now. Right? I'm going to go eat something after this, and I'm going to rest. I always tell my wife, I need a nap. Usually about 10 o'clock, I need a nap. I need a long nap. I need rest. If I work outside, I need rest. God's power never diminishes. He never gets tired. He never gets hungry. He never thirsts. I mean, God is a spirit, and he that worship Him must worship in the spirit and truth. God is all powerful. Pastor, can He make a rock He can't pick up? Yeah, he can make a rock he can't pick up and he can still pick it up. God is amazing. He's all powerful. God is all knowing. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He's all present. He's present everywhere at the same time. He's here. He's in my heart today. He's in your heart today. He's everywhere. That means nothing slips from him. He sees everything. The psalmist says, if you go to the heights of heaven, he's there. You go to the lowest parts of the earth, he's there. You can turn the light off if you want at night and be in dark, but God is still there. God sees everything you do. God knows every thought that you've ever thunk. Our God is all-knowing. By the way, he knows every thought you've ever come into your mind, and yet he still loves you. Listen, you think about all the terrible things that come through your mind, and yet God still loves me? That is a wonderful God. That is a great God. He's all-knowing. He knows every care. He knows every burden. He knows every affliction. This God knows everything about you. And he cares for you. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anyone. He's independent. He doesn't need anyone. He's present everywhere. He's eternal. He's eternal. He's eternal. He's an eternal being. He's from beginning to end. There is no beginning. There is no end. God is eternal. It's hard for us to understand. We can't. Our finite minds won't compute that. We need a beginning and an end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's immutable. He never changes. I'm glad Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, he's not going to back up on his promise tomorrow because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. We serve a God who's immutable. He never changes. See, when we think about this verse, I can do all things through Christ, we need to be reminded of God's attributes. Again, he's the source of the power, and he is all powerful. And because his power never diminishes, he can give you power, give me power, but he never loses any power. Right? He's all powerful. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. By the way, Hebrews 13:5 says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, Hebrews 13:5 says, the Lord is our helper, and I will not fear. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. He's there. Christ is my companion. He never leaves me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Right? That's the God we serve. Never leaves us alone. Christ cares for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, all men forsook me, but the Lord stood by me. All men, listen, all men may forsake you. You may you know, your friends may forsake you. You know, your spouse may forsake you. Your parents may forsake you. Your neighbors may forsake you. Your kinfolks may forsake you. But God never forsakes us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Last point. This promise is not temporary. It's eternal. It's continuous. That word strength means to endure with power or to make strong. He's promised to strengthen you. He's promised to strengthen you, to endue you with power, to make you strong. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew what? Their strength. Listen, we put our confidence... By the way, that word wait means to have hope in him. To hope. That doesn't mean to sit around and sit in a chair and wait on him. It means they that wait upon the Lord, they that put their confidence in God, they that put their hope in the Lord, he will renew your strength. Shall mount up with wings as eagles and so forth. Listen, he will strengthen you. Strengthen you. When we grow tired, weary, weak, and discouraged, he's promised to strengthen us. And his promises are true. He will give us strength. How? How does he give us strength? Practically speaking, how does the Lord give us strength? Well, number one, he gives us strength through the preaching of the Word of God. Through the preaching of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that strengthens us. This is our food. This is our nourishment spiritually. And when we go to it, when we feed upon the Word of God, whether it's reading our Bible daily or it's coming and hearing some preacher get up and preach, it's feeding our spirit. It's strengthening us. We need that strength. We need that strength. By the way, one sermon may change your life. I used to get so irritated, and I still can't understand why a Christian would just be a Sunday morning Christian. I don't get that. It doesn't compute with me. The Bible says that we should meet, Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 10, verse 25, that we should meet together, that we should do so much more as we see the day approaching, that Christians ought to be faithful to the house of God. If you joined this church body, then you ought to be faithful to this church body. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen? It's a command. It's not an option. Hebrews 10:25. Look it up. It's not a command. It's not an option. It's a command. And I don't get that, especially as a younger pastor, years ago, it used to just really irritate me. And I would get up, and some of y'all may remember, I'd get up and just hammer them. I mean, just hammer them every once in a while on Sunday morning. You guys don't come back, you know, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you're worthless. You know, and I wouldn't call them that, but I'd get pretty worked up about it, and every once in a while I would even amen myself because it would get so quiet in the room. Y'all remember that one? Yeah. I copied Dave McCracken. He used to do that. And that's back when I didn't know what kind of preacher I was. Anyway, I still don't. But I get so irritated. And I remember but then as I have grown in the Lord and have studied, I understand that just one Bible message can change that person's life. I get an opportunity to preach to a good crowd on Sunday morning, and that one message, not because it's me, but I'm talking about the Bible, can change that life. One message. By the way, be careful about missing services. You may miss that one message. It's going to change your life. That's why the people should be here. One message, one event. I say it a lot. People say, well, what can we do for that person, or what can we do for that person? Get them to church. Get them under the Word of God. One sermon can change your life forever. Amen? How are we to be strengthened? By the Word of God. The Word of God will give us strength. It has the power to change lives. And then, secondly, through God's people. I'm thankful for a good church family that is encouraging and strengthens us. We need to be a church family that looks out for our church family. Think about Miss Bobby tomorrow. I know most of you are under that burden tonight. I hope that you go home and pray for her, that God would do something miraculous tomorrow, and that what the doctors have intended to happen, would it happen, and she'd be able to gain her quality of life back, even though in a different way, she'll have her quality of life back, and pray for her. We are to encourage each other. How do we be strengthened? Through the Word, through each other. Look back at the verse again. Philippians 4, verse 13, and I'm done. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice that it has the E-T-H on the end. If you haven't learned yet, that's a present participle. It means continually. You'll find this in other places throughout the New Testament where the word will have an if on the end. And some new versions take it out, and it hurts the version because it means continual. You'll see verses like, he that sinneth. And it'll put the if on the end instead of an S. If. It means continually sins. Everybody kind of understand the premise here? That's what that word is. In the Greek, what it's saying is that God will continually strengthen you. He continually will strengthen you. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Strengtheneth me. He strengthens me, continually strengthens us. It means we get strength from Him daily, afresh every day. We can be strengthened by the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Bible says that that Christianity is a daily process. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. I can be renewed day by day. Our theme verse, right? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. That renewal is a daily process. Can I tell you, you can get up in the morning and be renewed? You can get up every day and be re-strengthened, if you would, continually strengthened. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That renewal is every day. We need that daily renewal. We need it every day. It's a daily process. If we will but rely upon the Lord, in good times and in bad times, He will strengthen us. Again, Paul didn't rely upon his pedigree. He didn't rely upon his education. He relied on the Lord. We too many times rely on, and you fill in the blank, whatever that is. We rely on other things instead of Jesus. And we become discouraged. We become despondent. We become downtrodden. We become abased because we're not putting our confidence in being strengthened by the Lord. Let us as Christians put our confidence in Him. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can. We ought to get up in the morning and have a positive attitude. You determine that. Your attitude, you know, determines your altitude, right? You know, quit looking down. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under there? You know? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things. The definition of all things is all things. Through Christ, who's all powerful. He never grows weary. His power never diminishes. And that's whom we are receiving our power from. And then I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's continual. 10 powerful words. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's all stand. Hymn 153, I surrender all. Maybe tonight you just come down to the altar and say, Lord, help me to get up in the morning, have a positive attitude, reminding myself that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Maybe you just come down and say, Lord, help me to put my confidence in You once again. Maybe you've allowed affliction. Maybe you've allowed the burden and to abase you. Maybe you just need to come down and say, Lord, help me to be content in whatever state that I'm in. Lord, give me that strength and that power, and He will. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful promise. I pray that each of us would be reminded that we can have continual strength daily through You, through Your Word, through fellow Christians. What a blessing it is. And Lord, just help us, Lord, to rely upon You as we should. In Jesus' name, amen.